You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 977. In this episode, we're going to be talking about podcasting again. We've had a little run here, but we've got an expert that will give you all the info that you're looking for to being a guest on the podcast and why you should consider it in 2025 and 2026, how it could promote yourself and build your reputation. We've got an expert on it. We've got Molly Rutland with us. Hopefully I haven't butchered her surname. It's a bit of a theme for me, Molly, destroying my guest surnames, but don't take it too personally. So, Molly, can you give us just a quick intro, a 10-15 second intro, and then when we go into the main part of the podcast, we will delve into your past career in more detail.
Sounds good. Well, let's see. I've owned a multimedia company for the last 25 years. So I've spent a lot of time creating content, working in audio and video, messaging, marketing, branding, all of that. So I've been on every side of the desk, the camera, the mic, and everything else. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic. Should be a great show. Molly's got a ton of info to give to us, my beloved tribe. But before we go into the main part of the show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning fast load times, enterprise grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Coming back, folks, I want to point out that we've got some fantastic special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the WordPress professional or power user. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you can get all the goodies there, my beloved WordPress tribe. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So, Molly, let's go into it. So you gave a little bit of outline of your tremendous experience, but how did you get into the online media area and why did you pursue it?
Well, it started, 25 years ago now. I've always been a connector. I grew up in a very Irish family and we grew up with, the chieftains in my living room and, dancing at the White House for Ronald Reagan. I grew up with Brian, what's his name? Flatley from the Lord of the Dance, I don't tell everybody that because it's not a lot of street cred involved, but we grew up in a family of performers and orators and, that's what a big Irish family. And so as I got older, that's kind of the direction I headed in was working with local artists to support community through art, music, and culture. So I managed 160 artists. I built recording studios. I had a 3-story building across the street from the legendary Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., which was a lifelong dream of mine. So I had a lot of experience in that, but in 2018, I just kind of hit a wall where I didn't want to, I just wanted to switch things up. And I have been putting artists on stages across the country and across the world for a long, long time. And I kind of recondoed my life and reverse Oprah'd it. And I dialed in on everything I enjoyed doing. And I got rid of everybody that was making it difficult for me to do that. And I formed Firecast Media to take all of those skills that I learned in that like very bootstrap grassroots company and apply it to business because I saw there was a real gap between like young people making incredible videos with iPhones with no money. And then like Ted from IT getting 10 grand to build a brand video that has 17 views on YouTube. And I thought there's got to be a middle ground somewhere in between. And so that's when I formed Heartcast Media. We primarily focus on podcast production as a business development tool. So as a pipeline filler. And about 2 years ago, I recognized that nobody was getting booking done right. It was too many AI pitches, too many incomplete pitches, too many just like, are you, drunk pitches, and I just thought, what am I doing? I've been putting on people on stages my whole life. And that's kind of in my bloodline. And so I'm going to take a swing at this. And that's when we launched the podcast booking side of, Heartcast Media. But we've always kind of, we've been a very digital first. I mean, I cut my teeth in social media when, Facebook was brand new. So we adapted very, very quickly and did so again in the pandemic when we had to take our very brick and mortar business and make it fully remote.
That's fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I feel like I just want to extend the question a little bit, Molly. First off, I got to tell you, I love the name Heartcast Media. I think it's great. And I like your website. But I'll just get that out of the way real quick. Yes. Folks, run over to heartcastmedia.com, check it out. But next, I'm curious because Jonathan's been in the podcast game a long time. I've been in the podcast game a long time. We know a lot of people that have been in the podcast game a long time, but it's like CRMs. We talk about CRMs all the time in one of our shows, and everybody has a different idea about what a CRM actually is or does. I was just hoping, like, because you're a pro. What defines like a real podcast to you? I mean, I see cats walking around their neighborhood shining a cell phone on themselves and they think they're making a podcast. And then I see people going to an actual studio with a soundboard and having professional audio done. And so if you could kind of shed some light, like what's the difference between a hobbyist and like a real podcast?
Well, I blame Anchor for that. They were the ones who were like, you can do a podcast from your phone. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. Okay, let's just set
this. That's how I started, Molly.
It really was. I blame them for almost everything that's wrong in my life because it's convenient, frankly. But really, like this idea of, well, it's Gary Vee and Anchor, right? Because Gary Vee told everybody, make a bunch of content, make one video, turn it into 17 million. I mean, I get it, right? I love leveraging my time, but that's not really it. You know, like it's quality over quantity always, right? And especially now people are overwhelmed. And so you've got people who are like, you've got the old heads who are like, oh, if it's on YouTube, it's not a podcast. Well, tell that to Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? You're going to tell me he doesn't have a podcast? It's the number one podcast in the world, and it's also on YouTube. So I think that question is answered differently by who you ask. To me, a podcast is an extension of pirate radio. It is, our tagline is listening is the revolution. I love the idea of democratized information. I love the idea that I can turn on this microphone right now, go onto my Substack, and I can say whatever it is that I want, right? And nobody is going to stop me. And I think that at the core is what, technically a podcast is an audio file distributed through an RSS feed, right? So is a podcast on YouTube a podcast? Technically not. Is a podcast on a cell phone technically a podcast? No. But, I think the biggest distinction is, do you want to have a podcast to enhance your business, or do you want to be a podcaster? Because those are totally different things, right? And I think that's the first question to ask, because a lot of people think, well, if I just do this podcast, then business will come. Well, no, if your content's not good, you're training people to ignore you. So, what is really the purpose and why you want to have a podcast is really, I think, more important.
I've made a career of that, Molly.
The audience is growing now, Molly. We've been doing good. The audience is growing now.
Well, 900 episodes. I mean, well, see, and I would consider you guys podcasters, right? You've committed to this. Not all episodes are great. Some of them are phenomenal, but you keep doing it every week. You keep putting information out there. You care about your community of listeners, your beloved community. You're offering them benefits by listening. I'm listening. You know what I mean? So to me, that you guys are podcasters, right? But like, the Grant Cardones or the guy from, Russell Brunson, who does a podcast from a cell phone. Well, yeah, I mean, Russ, he could do it from the toilet if he wanted to. He's Russell Brunson. He's got 17 million followers. That's not a real example, right? So I think, really, what is the intention of the podcast is the bigger question.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were more specific. I really appreciate your input on that. The question I was supposed to ask was, what are the benefits that other people gain when you encourage them or they work to be interviewed on other podcasts?
Well, I think everything in life is relationships, right? We decide right away. Life is like a big old dating app, right? We decide right away if we like people or not, right? I busted your chops before we got started, and you're like, I like you, Molly, right? Like, everything in life is a relationship, right? I love WordPress.
Well, I like you as well, Bob.
I like you too, Jonathan. I like both of you. And I love WordPress too, by the way. We could do like eight other episodes on WordPress. I'm an Elementor junkie, but that's a different conversation. But everything in life is a relationship, right? Your whole life is based on your relationships, personally, professionally, everything. If your relations aren't good, your relationships aren't good, your life is not going to be good. And I see podcasting as an opportunity to form relationships with people that you normally wouldn't. And if you're in business, if you are intentional and strategic about whose podcast you're going on and whose what kind of relationships you're forming, they can be very beneficial to you both professionally and personally. If you are going on podcasts to tap into other people's audiences, you've already lost the game. That's not how it works. You don't have a golden voice. They're not going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to follow this person forever because of these things they said. No, that's not how it works. Well, you're more likely to get hate mail from the things you say than followers. Okay. Let's be honest, you know? So it's really about forming relationships.
There's plenty of haters out there. Isn't it?
Exactly. You get those super fast, right? So I think it's all about relationships. So the benefit is forming relationships with people that you resonate with. Like, we all love WordPress. Like, we all have a good sense of humor. You know, we all like podcasting. I'm sure we'll run into each other again. Or maybe I'll send you some business. Or you know what I mean, right? Like, this is the beginning of our journey. And that's how I see it, is like you guys across the table. And then maybe if somebody else is listening, then I can start to form a relationship with them slowly, right? But it's all about, you know, if you go on 20 podcasts in a year, that's 20 new relationships. That could impact your life tremendously as long as you fully respect that it is a relationship and it is not an opportunity. And I think too many people pitch it that way. Tap into other people's audiences. You know what I mean? You know, people don't really have a respect. They show up late to podcast interviews. They're at Whole Foods. I had a guy one time, he was at the dentist. He said, hold on, I got to spit. And we were like, is this really happening right now? Like, did he really just say that?
I would cut it. I've never had that. I've had people not give a lot of notice that they weren't coming on the podcast.
Right.
But I think it's fantastic. I agree with everything. I like to go back a little bit to what is podcasting, because web development, running an agency, running a hosting, a boutique hosting company, I got into it as a secondary career. And I was influenced by Leo Laporte of the Twit Network. Mm-hmm. I started listening to that and I was interested in computers and I got into it. So I was always been heavily influenced by radio as a child, and I just love the medium radio. And then I started to listen to podcasts really early, and Leo was on with his Twit Network. And I've been highly influenced by what his attitude towards it and how he runs the Twit Network, right? But what is, we've had this oscillation over the years, haven't we, about podcasting, because obviously the mechanics is the RSS feed. That everything else is built on that technology. But the big players on the internet, iTunes, Google, Spotify, they hate it and they love it in the same breath? Is it because they can't totally control it that they hate it in a way? Because especially, you know, Spotify did a big play and they do get a lot of listeners, but I was looking at how they deal with video and audio, and to me it's a bit of a dog's breath. Mm-hmm. And then you've got what Google, you know, they closed down their their iTunes player, their podcast player, and they've got this other dog's breath. You integrate it with YouTube, and I tried it the way they're recommending, and it's a mess. So, and then you got Apple, and dealing for years, I've got two feeds on this podcast, and I've been trying to get rid of one of the feeds. I don't even know how it appeared. And every like 6 months, I have a discussion with iTunes support, and I just want to get a gun and shoot myself. So it's growing, and it's had its ups and downs, and I think we're in a growth period, but it seems to have this strange mixture, this relationship with some of the biggest players. Is there anything to what I've just said, and what's your own thoughts?
Well, this is a spicy bite, let me tell you. I think the podcast industry has an identity crisis right now, and there's a lot of players in the advertising industry that are presenting themselves as podcast industry folks, and they are not. And so at the end of the day, it all comes down to money. Where are they putting ads, and how much control do they have, and how much of the slice are they getting? And when they recognize that they're not getting any, then they make it really difficult. So it's, you know, you've got groups like Spotify the Rolling Stones doesn't make money off of Spotify, right? So, you know what I mean? Like, we can look at the music business and we can understand what's happening in the podcast business very clearly, right? We've got advertisers, we've got corporate interests coming in, we've got money going all in one direction, but none of it is sustainable. So, like, for example, 2 months ago or a month ago, Wondery shut down, right? The Amazon arm. They fired 110 people. Well, yesterday, the CEO of a new company, the woman who was the CEO of Wondery, announced a new talent agency of all AI podcast hosts. And they are produced 5,000 podcasts. They're producing 3,000 episodes a week, all with AI slop at $1 an episode. And they called podcasters lazy Luddites for creating content.
I don't know. Well, not in a clean way. I don't know how to respond to that.
Right. She also was quoted saying that in 20 years that half the world will be AI, that half of people will be AI. And somebody commented in LinkedIn. He said, well, in 20 years, people will know the difference between people, will know the definition of people. But there's a real problem, right? You've got the short answer is it's the corporate influence on this craft that ultimately is storytelling. It is storytelling. That's what podcasting is. It's getting on, and it's radio. It's all of those things that we've talked about, right? But it's been completely meddled with by corporate and big tech who think, wait, we're running, you know, first it was the big grift with the Apple downloads and, oh, you're paying for all these ads on these downloads, but they weren't actually being listened to. They were just being downloaded. And then they gutted that 2 years ago and the whole industry went up in flames and all those contracts got canceled. And all of a sudden, Meghan Markle doesn't have a podcast anymore. And all of a sudden, right, all these Wondery is shutting down and Cadence 13 and all these people, right, are shutting down left and right because they're trying to get a piece of the pie. So now the downloads have died and they don't want to pay creators. They want to have networks and get 80% of the money and give 20 to the creators. Well, the creators get getting sick of that. So now they said, well, we don't need you at all. We're just going to create AI agent sloth and make podcasts from AI hosts.
Well, but I also, I've been attempting, I am committed to podcasting because I love the medium, but also I've been trying to build up my YouTube channel with some success. But YouTube, they don't even know. They're getting more views. They're getting more market share. It's growing, and I want to be on there, but it's totally infested with, as you say, AI slop, isn't it? And they know it, and they're trying to fight back because when I see it, I just cancel my, you know, I don't want to see this anymore. I tell YouTube, don't show me this, because it's obvious AI slop, isn't it, as you put it?
Well, and they're just looking for places to put more ads, and there's not enough creators to do that, so they're just making pocket. I mean, it's the biggest grift of all time, and so it's like, I think the short answer is we have to not worry about those other platforms. Stick with the the authenticity of the RSS feed and build your audience. Now, I am a big fan of YouTube because it's the second largest search engine in the world and it has a lot of benefits, but I don't really consider YouTube to be synonymous with podcasting. I consider it more,
it's a strange because, well, long form content, this show's around an hour and sometimes we have bonus content if the hosts can put up with us. Our can put up with us, or me, I should be more precise. But, you know, long form was out. It's all short form, and short form still has a place. And I've decided to jump into that. I was a little bit resistant, but I think it has its place. But now long form's back again, isn't it, on YouTube and in podcasting. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think like a lot of people are moving to Substack because they can have longer form conversations and write blogs and essays and go live there, and it has an RSS feed. So I mean, the industry is definitely
well. They've made a play in video as well, but my problem with them, it's a priority platform. If they will, having all your content with them is just like any other, you know, having a website built not on WordPress, at least, you know, or having everything on one platform and you having your whole income dependent on YouTube, you have absolutely no control. If they change their terms and conditions or they don't, one day they just don't like your content anymore and they just don't show it to new people anymore.
Which is happening all the time. I get throttled all the time and shadow banned all the time. You know, it happens.
What have you been up to, Molly?
You might have picked up on this, but I'm a little sassy and outspoken at times. You know what I mean? I say what it is, right? Because I'm turning 50 and it's the gift of perimenopause. I genuinely don't care what anybody thinks anymore about my opinions or how I look or anything. And I've earned it, right? It took a long time to bake this cake and I've been doing this stuff for 25 years, right? So, you know, but the point is, you're right. They control all this stuff, right? Like even on Substack, because I wanted to run an experiment, I launched a new podcast on there and the UX is terrible. It's so confusing. I feel like my mom trying to operate a computer. And I'm a very technical person. You know what I mean? I'm very, like, I'm the one that installs stuff for friends and builds websites and codes. You know what I mean? I'm not an idiot. I get on there. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I have followers. I don't know how to, I have 2,000 followers. I have no idea how to talk to them. I mean, on Substack.
I think it really appeals to the traditional cable news. They've been decimated, haven't they, over the last 18 months, 2 years, probably a bit longer. You know, they've been sacked. I'm amazed at the amount of formal cable presenters that have launched their YouTube channel and launched their Substack. And I haven't really got much time for them, really, Molly, but maybe that's me. But is this making any sense, what I'm outlining?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think at the end of the day, right, we could talk forever about what a podcast is or what a podcast isn't, but I really do think the most important thing is how you're using it and what benefit does it get you, you know, and you know, why are you doing it in the first place? Because it's not, as you know, 900 episodes deep. It's not like a quick fix, like start a podcast, everybody loves you. It's not the Field of Dreams, you know. It is a grueling process, you know, when you go to check those out.
It's a field of weeds. All right, I think it's time for us to have our break. I'm going to let Kurt take my control. I've been on a little bit of a wander with Molly, but she's been very gracious. Hopefully, I haven't bored your tribe, but you know what I'm like, don't you? So we're going to go for our middle break, folks, and we'll be back in a few moments.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a great discussion. Well, Molly's been coping with my madness. Kirk just looking, smiling as normal. Before we go into the second part of the show, just want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting partner that offers real support when you've got a large build out in membership community, why don't you look at hosting with WP Tonic? We offer some tremendous packages. You can go and find more if you're a WordPress professional. Go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. Did you like the tagline, Molly?
I love it.
Yeah, it's only taken me 8 years to produce something coherent. I'm a very slow learner, but I just keep at it. Over to you, Kurt.
Thanks, Jonathan. I almost closed my own personal podcast in 2018 because I thought it was an utter failure. And then I was in WordCamp in San Diego, and someone on the bottom floor started screaming my name, which I thought was bizarre because I didn't know who they were. And when I walked up to her table, she goes, "Oh my God, you're the Mañana No Mas guy. I've been listening to you for years." And that was the first time that had ever happened. And then later that year, it happened like two more times. But my numbers didn't show that there was no comments. There was no, people didn't like, they didn't share. My stats looked horrible, right? And now, you know, it's 7 years later, I still have the podcast and I'm doing more quality guests than I've done ever right now. The question is, do you see any trends developing in podcasting that you can share with our tribe? But I think more of the question is really like, so many people start like I do, right? They start a podcast. They say most people never get past 10 episodes.
Seven.
Yeah. I had had, 100 episodes in the tank and was going to turn it off anyway. What can you share with people that's like, well, this is a developing podcast trend and this is how you do this or how you do that? Like what could you say that might give people some hope to continue the medium?
I think the first thing is don't worry about what people want and focus on what it is that you're passionate about and what you want to talk about, because a lot of people are like, well, what's popular or what's trending? Or I want to talk about diversity or resilience. And
well, they're totally driven by the podcast or YouTube analytics, aren't they? They're just totally driven by it, aren't they, Molly?
I call it twerking for the algo. It's like, Tom Bilyeu is a perfect example of that. I used to idolize Tom Bilyeu, Impact Theory. I loved his podcast. I thought he was one of the best interviewers in the world. And then he just went down a rabbit hole. And now all of his stuff is like financial collapse. Everything is ending. All of his thumbnails are like fear inducing. And I know he's looking at his analytics and he's seeing, oh, well, people like it when I do this, so I'm going to do more of that. And he's like lost himself, And he's lost a lot of people because of it. So I would say, like, don't worry about the analytics. Focus on having really good conversations and have a podcast about something that you're actually passionate about, because people can tell when they're listening to you if you're into it or not. Like, I'm sure the three of us could talk about WordPress for like an hour and a half and just nerd all the way out because we're really passionate about it. And people probably wouldn't understand half of it, but they would be like, wow, those people really like WordPress.
Some of the shows are very technical around WordPress. Others aren't. I try and just whatever comes on my radar and what I'm interested at that time. And I'm the main host. Kirk's a fantastic co-host. And I just play it like that, Molly. But I don't allow myself just to be driven by the analytics.
Well, and that's what it is. People tune in because they like you. They like your voice. They like your accent, like your sense of humor. They like the topics that you talk about. But if you were just focused on one thing that you thought the algorithm wanted, it wouldn't come off the same way. You wouldn't be as personable. Your jokes, your self-depreciate, none of that would exist. You'd be so focused on the downloads and the metrics that there wouldn't be space for that. And I think that people want more authenticity and realness right now. than ever before.
Well, is there a happy medium? Do you think, you know, on the YouTube channel, I've been more merciless with that, as I would put it, because sometimes you saying that, you're just deluding yourself. But I think it's finding a happy medium, isn't it, Molly?
Well, I'm a big fan of analytics, don't get me wrong, but the analytics are not going to determine my belief system or the things that I'm passionate about, you know?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to actually going on podcasts, obviously you're going on to other people, you're introducing yourself to new tribes, as I put it, the purple cow, that you know, Golden's concept. How many, you know, because obviously the other benefit is that hopefully they're going to do proper show notes and you're going to have a link back that might, you know, give you some credibility with Google, and you're just introducing yourself. You're going to say it depends, doesn't it? And I totally understand, but, you know, how many do you think is a good place to start per month going on other people's podcasts?
I think 2 to 4 is very realistic.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to be very intentional with what podcasts that you're going on. You know, sometimes small audiences have a lot of value. So like the metric is not how many downloads do they have, but you know, there's a lot of platforms that you can join and get connected with other podcasts, but a lot of those people are going to like no show you, you know what I mean? Be late. Like it's a lot of like new podcasters. And so they're not going to be great experiences and they don't have big audience, you know what I mean? So it's really limited. So I would say be very intentional with who you're spending your time with. And be very clear on what your pitch is. We did a podcast for NATO and Terry Schultz was the host and she's a world-class journalist. And I've never seen anybody handle a conversation the way she can. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. And she could control the conversation in a way that nobody ever felt like they were being interrupted or not heard or anything like that. But she could just change I've just never seen anything like it. Now she's been doing it for 30 years, right? But I think it's a lesson for all of us. When you're going on podcasts, you should be saying the same thing over and over and over again. If you listen to all your episodes in one day, you would hate yourself, but that's kind of the point. You need to have a consistent message everywhere you go. I talk about podcasting as a business development tool. I talk about podcasting as a relationship builder. You know, that's my main message. That is my main message always, right? So my CTA is very clear. It's the same thing every time. It's a page on my website that I track and I have some special offers on there and a meeting link, right? And that is my CTA every single time, right? So I think it's about getting really polished, understanding what your talking points are, understanding what your CTA is, and then nurturing that relationship, making sure that you're following up and saying, hey, Kurt and Jonathan, thank you so much for having me on the show last week. That was a lot of fun, you know? Thanks for your time. If there's anything I can ever do for you, let me know. No problem. Thank you, Molly. Maybe nothing will come of it, but maybe something will, right? You never know. Maybe one day we'll be on a panel together. You never know. The world's a crazy place, right? Like none of that surprises me anymore, right? Because it's also a very small industry, right? Like we're a tiny little community of podcast nerds, right?
Yeah. So, maybe Grant Cardone's going to reach out to us now.
I've never been part. I've just been part of the WordPress kind of developer, but I've never been, even though I've been doing it quite a while, my biggest influence was the BBC and Radio 4. That's how I set my standard on, and I fail consistently, Molly, but it's a high standard, isn't it?
Well,
it's a very high standard, Radio 4, the BBC. High standards means, you know, you probably fail a lot, but it's still quite good. So let's move on then. I think the biggest problem with me with podcasting, Molly, generally is the silence, that the medium doesn't make it very easy. You know, we're going to do a pitch at the end of the show for people to leave reviews, because if you're using the iTunes app or Spotify app, it's pretty easy to leave a review, but generally it isn't. And it's not like YouTube where they can leave, well, maybe too many comments. But it's easy to leave comment. But the problem with is the deafness. But then when I go to a WordPress conference, I only have to open my mouth. Oh, you're Jonathan. I've been listening to your podcast for 6 years. If I ever go to a WordPress, I get that consistently, but it's the silence of podcasting. That's one of the problems with it. What do you reckon, Molly?
I mean, it's a lonely portal for sure. I mean, you know, you're kind of just talking into, you know, yelling into an empty room a lot of times, and you don't know if people are really listening or not. I think that's why the metric has to be a little different. So I'll say this, the people that are getting a lot of downloads and a lot of interactions are also paying for them. Like, people are paying for downloads. They're put not necessarily like for the download, but they're paying for media to promote the episodes to get the downloads. And they also aggressively push for reviews and stuff. And a lot of times they have PR and marketing and a huge budget behind it. And so I think comparing ourselves to those people is like a lose-lose right away, because like, they're podcasters, they are media personalities who are putting money behind that, versus like growing a podcast organically. And you're right, they don't make it easy. I tried to leave a review for something and I went in this endless loop on Apple the other day, and I was like, Jesus Christ, man, it shouldn't be this hard to just leave a review, you know? But for me, I don't care about downloads. I don't even look at my downloads. I really don't, because they suck. What am I going to do? Log in and like, you know what I mean? Just foster my imposter syndrome a little more. No, man, I don't need to look at, you know, well, what I know.
The two shows me and Kurt do, we get between 5,000 and 10,000 a month.
That's phenomenal.
That's not bad for the two shows. I think we're doing, and it's been growing lately. But I tell you, being controversial, I can be a bit controversial, can't I, Kurt? There's been a couple of times where I've fallen foul with certain elements of the WordPress community for crimes against humanity, and I've been just blanked and just, you're trash, Jonathan, because he hasn't suited what they wanted to hear. But funny enough, my downloads have just gone up. When you're really good, you know, it's very unpleasant, but when it comes to actual downloads, they go up, the more controversial, but I've had to tone it down. And it was never around like what you have pointed out, Monty, just to get more downloads, because you're definitely right. There's a whole section of YouTube and podcasting, they're doing it intentionally to be quasi-controversial because they get more money, basically. And I despise them. I admire them and despise them in the same, the kind of merciless commercial side of me admires great marketing. But the more spiritual, the human side of me, I despise them. So yeah. I'm back and forth, really. But I'm all over the place anyway, Molly, so does it matter? Over to you, Kurt.
Nice softball.
Yeah, it's my job to switch the channel, right? It's my job to change the direction, Molly. If we think about social media as an entire marketing platform and podcast being a part of that, how do you see podcasting integrate with those other marketing channels like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok? I'll front load you a little bit. Like, Opus AI was one of those things that would make clips out of podcast videos, and I would slap those up all over the place. And I got some quick hits. I got some quick follows, but I wasn't sure if it was actually quality follows or if it was. I really struggled with it. And then when I looked at what I paid for it versus the benefit, I said, I don't know if this is really working or not. And I stopped for a while. What are your thoughts? Because like, podcasting is a really strong, awesome communication medium, but I'm not sure it transfers really well to those other channels.
I think when you have studio quality content, your chances of that short form content working are significantly higher. Like, it's really hard for any of us to watch a 47-second clip with somebody on a laptop Zoom record. It's like, you better have said something real prolific or funny or divisive, or it's just going to get lost. Because when you look at the clips that do really well, right, like the I've Had It podcast, those two white women that just like destroy Trump all the time, right? And they're just so funny. I love them so much. They're so like Southern women, and they speak with such eloquence, but they just like drag him. But they're in a studio with incredible lighting and lav mics and multiple camera angles. And you know what it means? And it's being cut in a way that when people get that clip, it's being edited and, you know what I mean? Like this idea, like I got an email from a guy on LinkedIn and he said, oh, I've developed this AI that does better than a human clipper. I said, a human clipper? You mean an editor? Like, bro. A human clipper? And then I said, how do you stand up to Opus AI? And he said, I'm one of the founders of Opus AI. And I just thought to myself, buddy, you should probably refer to people by their... Not a human clipper, you know what I mean? Like a human clipper, that's an industry, man. You know what
he's talking
like
about NPR? A dolphin, is he? He's talking about a dolphin. Like,
that's what they call people in the mob.
I used to love that show, Clipper. That was a good show back in the day. But
it wasn't Clipper. What was the name of that show? It was you had Skippy the kangaroo, and then you had the dolphin, didn't you?
It was Clipper, wasn't it? Yeah,
Clipper. It was Clipper. Flipper, I think you're right, but yeah, cool, sorry.
We have digressed badly on the show now. This is good. We got to recover this thing.
Yeah, well, I'll stop drinking coffee.
It's totally down to me, Molly. I apologize. I'm sorry. It's totally down to me.
I'm gonna steamroll forward here with this next question, and
please don't, Kurt, because it's going downhill quick.
And I want to because I feel like I'm gonna put my wife on the spotlight. I'm literally like 2 weeks ago, I'm walking through the house and I hear this droning tone of this weird, ridiculous story that's not real at all. Mm-hmm. Some dog got lost in the woods, blah, blah, blah. I'm in the kitchen making coffee and I'm like, what in the world is she listening to? And I walk out in the living room and she's zonked out on the sofa, right? And I'm like, okay, that is weird. And so I didn't think anything of it. 2 days later, same thing. She's listening to some weird, monotone, weird thing. And I finally called her on. I said, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, I love these AI stories. They're kind of stupid, but they're entertaining and they put me to sleep. And I was like, because here's my thought, Molly. I constantly think I'm operating at some level, right? And then I have real conversations with real human beings that tell me something that sounds like lunacy, right? And I go, am I so disconnected? Or are these other people like falling for some kind of folly? So then I asked some friends, do you listen to these AI stories? And they're like, oh, I love those AI stories. They're just like white noise in the background. And I think they're great. And I'm going, oh, this doesn't make any sense to me because I think I work hard at what I do. And so that launches us into a question. Are there any AI tools or services that you've been using recently that you would recommend to our tribe? But more than that, I gathered you're not a fan of AI from your earlier comments. But then we see people finding success in that space. At this point, I think me and Jonathan are both confused.
I mean, I think at the core of why people like those AI stories is because it's not trauma. Because everything is trauma. You open up, yesterday I opened my phone and I saw Charlie Kirk get shot in the neck. Saw the whole video, close-up video. I'm really not okay, right? It's part of the reason why I'm off kilter this morning. I haven't been okay since yesterday, you know? That's not something anybody should see. Right. And then I scroll again.
I refuse to watch it because I just don't want to watch another human being executed.
I didn't mean to. I opened up social and there it was. You know what I mean? It just happened. Right. Yeah. But then I scroll up and then I see like, oh, the, you know, a Latino man being, you know, stepped on the neck by 10 ICE agents. And then I scroll again and then I see that the Supreme Court has just taken more of my rights. So then I scroll again. You know what I mean? It's this endless deluge. And that's why this is why women, you know, to calm down, listen to true crime, right? You know, yeah. You know, it's better. It's something long. And I've even done that when I've been like scrolling on my phone in the morning and then it's a longer video and I'll listen to the whole thing just because it like slows down the trauma feed of all of the bad news. So I think that is just a form of disassociation. But I think on a grander level, like that's going to wear out. You know what I mean? That's just a societal issue more than anything. I think people that actually listen to podcasts won't have anything to do with that. I like AI for certain things. I like AI when it can expand on what my thoughts are, answer some questions for me. I love it for show notes and SEO optimizing show notes and say, get rid of deep dive delve and all that other crap. And I want long tail keywords and optimized keywords, you know, in this description. That takes AI a minute and a half. It would take my team members 3 days. That's a no-brainer because nobody's really reading the show notes anyway, but they do matter for SEO and they do matter when they're on your website, but they're not really being read. It's like closed captions only have to present 80% accurate kind of thing, right? So that's why I use AI, but I'm not using it to replace a human. And I think that's where we've got, like, I rail against Riverside all the time. I'm like, I don't need all those things. I don't need an editor. I'm an agency. I'm never going to use your rinky dink crappy editor or your emojis or your balloons or any of your tools because I'm an agency. I just want the files. And no, I'm not going to pay you $1,800 a month. And no, I don't appreciate that you're trying to put engineers and editors and producers and camera people out of business because your investors weren't happy that you made $10 million and gave you $10 million more. And so now you have to raise my prices. It's the unshittification of everything, right? So I think that, like, there is some place for AI, but I think, you know, I think that is short-lived. And I think that is way more of, like, we're tired. And as a woman in this country, we are exhausted. We are terrified and we are so angry right now. And I will take some brainless shit any day of the week because I can't handle anymore. I can't handle anymore. You should see what I watch on Netflix. I turned on The Walking Dead, turned it off and cried for 10 minutes thinking, what the hell is wrong with people? Like, the world is a crazy place. So yeah, sometimes we just need something else, but I don't think that's indicative of the podcast industry. I think that's a trend, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's more that we all need mental health than anything else.
A, that was a wonderful answer. I know I put you on the spot. B, just like Jonathan, you've invented a great word in shittification.
I didn't invent it, but it's a thing where it's like, you know, they bump up everything. Well, pay more. But then now the base level is like nothing. It's trash, right? That's where we're at with everything. It's like Riverside, their baseline is garbage. And they, pay more to get this.
Well, I noticed that the platform I use is Castos. I noticed that they dropped them. They were pushing it a lot through their platform. They recently dropped it. I want to get back because I think it was down to me, my so-called humor. Question four, which was, you got any tips or insights about how a smaller player can integrate WordPress into social media, into YouTube, Instagram, TikTok? Have you got any, because you've got a ton of experience, have you got any kind of insights how somebody can utilize podcast content to promote their podcasts on these different type of platforms?
I mean, I think just be real with your posts and your content, and it's quality over quantity.
Right.
You know, more isn't always more at all. As I mentioned, I think people are training people to ignore them. You know, we all know those people on LinkedIn that just post constantly and you just scroll right past it. Or the people that post on their personal and business page at the same time, so you always see two of them in a row on your feed and you're like, dude,
I try not to do that.
Twice now, you know. I think find your platform where you have an audience and lean in there. Because social media, listen, I have 60,000 social media followers. And when I post something, you know how many people see it? 12. You know what's happening on LinkedIn right now? They're actively suppressing women's voices. I'm in a program where we're actually testing the algorithm where we're posting a male with the same content following as me posts the exact same content and they'll get thousands of impressions and I get 6. So like, I don't think that social media is the answer at all. I think it's talk to your audience through your platform. Find places, bring them to your website, bring them into a newsletter, get off of social, because I don't think, and unless you're like, you know, studio quality and putting a bunch of money behind those clips, it's not going to get to the masses. Everything is pay to play right now. So you're better off, like, you would get more traction from social media from this interview, if you take it and you tag me on LinkedIn, because I got a bunch of followers there, and you post something like a real comment, and then I comment back, that is going to get 10,000 more impressions or 10 times more impressions, you know, than your any social media post than you could put out. So I think, honestly, and you guys will probably appreciate this, I think social media is dead from a marketing perspective, and I think SEO is where it's at. I think SEO is 100% where it's at. So I would say lean into the platform where you have a voice.
Well, it's quite strange because I do a lot of SEO work. It's my main purpose in my company, and I'm not backing off on it, but I actually disagree with you a little bit. But I will have to think about what you said. Because it's obvious it comes from the heart. We're probably going to, are you okay for, because Kurt's got to go at the hour because he's got to go over to something else. Have you got enough time for some bonus content?
Yeah, sure. All right. This is way better than scrolling on social media this morning. Please save me from myself.
Yeah. So we're going to go for the final question and then we're going to wrap it up.
So
the podcast part of the show. So if you had your own time machine or your TARDIS, if you know what that is, and you could go back to the beginning of your career and you just could have just a quick little chat with yourself, is there anything you would love to tell yourself at the beginning of your career?
Which one? I would say, read every book you can find on business development and leadership.
Yeah. I got a little bit of dyslexia, but I listen a lot. And
I listened
as a child to Radio 4, so I blame it on Radio 4. If you're not English, you're probably not going to know, but Radio 4 is the kind of intellectual, slightly snobby main BBC radio channel where they had discussions and plays, and but I used to love it. So I got educated by Radio 4, basically. It's so, Molly, you've been a great guest. You have to come back on the show. I've really enjoyed the podcast. It's been all over the place. That's totally down to me. But I think it's been quite entertaining. So, Molly, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, if you go to my website, heartcastmedia.com/friends, because we're all friends now, you can find all my meeting links and all the good stuff. And of course, my website and everything else. You know, I love talking to people about podcasting, podcast strategy, podcast booking. If people are thinking about starting a podcast business, I'm always happy to give my time. I'm more of the ideal of like each one teach one and share what you have, and hopefully other people can benefit from it as well. So if you want to connect with me, but you don't necessarily want to buy something from me, I'm super cool with that too.
That's fantastic. And Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
Well, now I got to come up with a /friends link, but I'm usually on LinkedIn almost every single day. I'm the only Kurt Vonnegut in there. I'm easy to find. Hit the connect button. Even if it doesn't show you the connect button, hit add more, connect, and we'll connect there and have a conversation. For business, I'm at Manana No Mas, and I also work directly with the WP Tonic team, so you can reach me there.
That's fantastic. And if you really want to support the show and you found this interview interesting and entertaining and you're listening on iTunes on your phone or Spotify, why don't you leave us a review? It's really, really easy and it really does help the podcast if you do leave a review. Can hardly talk. And it's totally free and it's easy to do. So there are no excuses, my beloved tribe. Please leave that review, both me and Kirk. Would be very appreciative. We'll be back next week with another expert about WordPress or marketing in general to make you more effective in 2025. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.